Welcome back. It's Mario the Artisan Rogue. Okay, today I'm going to talk about... Let me see here. What do I want to talk about today? Man, I've got a lot of things going on. I really do at this point. I'm actually pretty excited about the whole thing. And here's the really, really crazy part about this. And some of you probably already know this because of what you've read on my website or on Twitter or something along that line. I am actually what one would call unemployed. Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's actually been a... I can't even say it's been weird. It's actually been pretty freaking freeing and not that bad. I had worked previously, for those of you that don't know, I had worked at Hallmark as a production artist, which in turn, the you know, without getting into too much of it, the job had really morphed into something else, and it was more along the line of things that I didn't really want to do. So I really wasn't that remiss whenever... you know, corporate mandate came down and they were letting go quite a few people in my group. And I actually thought I was going to be a lot more stressed out and freaked out about it, to be quite honest. But some of the things I did to prepare myself for this was I tried to make sure that, you know, even though, like, when I was working a full-time job, that I had at least something of a backup plan. And you know, some of that, sure, you know anybody could do that, you know, which is, you know, maybe save a little bit of money to the side or, you know, make some other kind of preparations in that zone. But one of the things I definitely wanted to make sure that I kept in my back pocket was at least a somewhat steady zone of freelance. And thankfully, I've had that, as well as also being able to work on some projects like my comics and illustrations and stuff, because I do a lot of comic conventions and shows, and I've started doing more art shows and gallery shows and that sort of thing. And that's actually lent itself to me being able to really spend a lot more time, you know, working on new ideas. And even as a side result of that, you know, I ended up, going back and networking and mentally I was able to really gather myself centrally. I was able to take this mental break that I needed. You got to understand, I'm not normally the kind of person that thrives in a corporate environment. It's really crazy, too, because it was this test, and I've spoken to quite a few of my friends about this. It's called the Myers-Briggs test, and I believe, and I'm probably going to get this so wrong, I think I was an INJF or an INFJ. I honestly really don't remember. I remember when I read it, it was incredibly fascinating. I hadn't seen anything like that profile me that well. But it turned out that my particular profile was pretty unique in that not a lot of guys had it, but more so that it lent itself to a personality type that didn't really end up working that well when it came to working in, you know, corporate environments. So I thought that was really bizarre. You know, it's kind of a side thing. Whenever I was looking and reading it, I was like, oh, God, what the hell does this mean? But at the same time, there were a lot of good things that came out of it for me. I mean, you know, my voiceover career really kind of started there, and I ended up meeting a whole bunch of new people and working through that and getting experience and knowledge. And, you know, you kind of hear that sort of thing spread and said from a lot of people that will lose their jobs and move on. But I sincerely mean that. I met and have still kept in contact with quite a few people that I really enjoyed. So the basis of this whole thing was to say, you know, am I really unemployed? No. Not really. Not at all. I thought I was going to have a heck of a lot more spare time. I have almost zero spare time. Now, mind you, I'm still running my websites and doing, you know, reviews and podcasts and working on my artwork and illustrations, you know, all that sort of thing. And like I said, I also ended up, you know, spending a lot more time networking and doing other things. On the weekends, I actually, my friend Deanna Munoz started this really great thing a couple years ago. Actually, it was been 1 or 2 years ago, two, three years ago now, called Scribblers Co. And what it is it's a program that is all volunteer, and I'm one of the mentors for the art program. And what it is that it's to help out kids in the Kansas City, Kansas area that don't have access to people that would, you know, in a lot of these cases, you know, a lot of the funding has been cut for schools, or they just don't really see art classes as anything necessary, which, my God, that kills me to hear and know that sort of thing even happens today. To not invest in the arts is probably one of the worst things that could ever happen. So I immediately, whenever she asked me about it, I was like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll get involved with this. And it's really paid off. I have a wonderful set of kids that do show up, and they're really eager. Well, they're, I think at first they were a little bit unsure as to what was really happening, or, oh my God, what, you know, is this guy going to be boring? Is he a teacher? Am I going to get homework? And you can kind of tell that thing. Because I saw myself in a lot of these kids. The wonderful thing has been they've certainly reciprocated, and I've learned a lot more, not just about myself, but about teaching and being able to pass on what I know about art to them. And I'm hoping that, you know, especially now that some more mentors have come into the mix and it's really starting to take off, that it's going to keep going. This is something that's really, really necessary. And as long as, you know, hell, I'm quote-unquote unemployed, you know, why not? You know, and I'd do it even if I had a full-time job. I know I would. You know, the only other thing I used to do on the weekends was work at a bar. And I did security for a very, very long time, many, many years. And I would, there's not even a contest. I would much rather do this on a volunteer basis than get paid really good money to have to babysit drunks. And so really it's not even a vote either way. It's now I would definitely do Scribblers. Anyway, I'm getting off the subject a little bit here. One of the other things that came about this, though, was I had noticed that toward the end of my time there at Hallmark, especially the last couple of months, not only because the job itself was morphing into more of a instructional sort of thing, you know, training other people and that sort of thing, it was one of those things where my stress level kept going up, and I knew, and I don't know how many of you have ever really gone through this. I've spoken to many of my friends at shows about this, but sometimes you go through that moment where you're waking up in the morning and the first thing you're doing is almost clenching your teeth or your fists as you're getting dressed, and you're like, God, I hate my job. I just hate it. Don't want to go. Oh, I can't believe it's already time to get up. That's, you know, fairly freaking common. It really is, and it shouldn't be, but I was really surprised because when it was coming to an end, yeah, there was a little bit of weirdness for me because I was like, oh, what the hell am I going to do? Now, I will say this. Thankfully, Hallmark was more than gracious and gave me a little bit of a stipend as I was leaving, and so that's helped me over the last couple of months to just focus up myself and that sort of thing. I mean, but, you know, I only worked there for 3 years, so it's not like it was a large amount, and that was more than fair what they gave me. I wasn't really expecting anything. And these sort of things, I'm being very open and honest with. This isn't anything like, well, at least I hope it's nothing that Hallmark's going to be like, you shouldn't be talking about that sort of thing. I'm not saying anything that wasn't already out there, and I'm pretty sure hundreds of other ex-Hallmarkers have already talked about this sort of thing. So, but I know that, like, now that I've been back, because it was really funny, and I think I mentioned this earlier, you know, I'd gone back to curate a show at Hallmark. That was what I was like, I don't know if that's irony or if that's just wild-ass coincidence or fate or whatever the hell it was. But I ended up going back to curate a show for a Chicano art exhibit. And that was a really, really cool experience. I ended up meeting a whole bunch of new artists and I did a whole blog post on it, which I'll put the link down below so that way you guys can check it out. But it's on my website, theartistandrogue.com. At any rate, that certainly ended up changing my mind about a lot of things. And I think that if I had still been working there, I think I would have been a lot more stressed and probably not capable of being able to have done even as good of a job as I think I did. But ultimately, that was the thing, was that, you know, if you do have a job and you're working through stuff and you're trying to make ends meet and stuff, I wish any and everybody out there all the best luck in dealing with it. And I don't mean that in a terrible way, like, oh my God, every job is terrible. Hell no, I'm not saying that. It's nice to have a job. It's nice to be able to pay bills. It's nice to be able to do a ton of things. But in my case, I guess the reason I'm recording this is because I know a lot of people that were freaking out, you know, because they were getting let go or they've lost jobs or that sort of thing. But thankfully, I've met quite a few other people that said that was probably the most freeing thing that ever happened to them because it did allow them to reset their mind. I mean, when you're forced into a situation where you no longer have a job and, you know, maybe, hopefully it wasn't, you know, anything you did and it's the company doing something crazy like just letting you go over the hell of it or for, you know, financial reasons, or the bean counters just are bored that week, or whatever the hell's going on. Hopefully the end result is that you end up with a lot less stress in your life because you can breathe. I'm talking like one of those kind of breathing things, you know. And I did. I know, man, I'm not even joking. That day that I handed in my badge, that last day, I mean, I'm not even joking around. I completely walked the hell around that day. I know there was work that needed to be done, and I had gotten the vast majority of my work done that day. And I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, I wasn't screwing around a little bit or something like that. I mean, it was one of those things where it was like, what more could happen, you know? But it was weird because my mentality on it was, okay, I've gotten to this point. The company is letting me go. I've done all the work I possibly could do. I'm caught up. My desk is cleaned out. And, you know, the last few things were packed into my truck. I was saying goodbye to a lot of my friends that were there, you know, and that sort of thing. But the entire time, I kept feeling more and more weight lift itself off my back. I didn't feel strained. My neck didn't hurt. I didn't have my daily migraine onset that I was having all the time. And within a couple of days after that, when I think I was just laying in bed staring at the ceiling fan spin, and it was like 10 o'clock, and I think it was like a Tuesday or something. It was a couple of days later. I actually felt the best I ever had in my life. Now, you know, put this in perspective. I mean, you know, I knew that I had a little bit of a cushion for myself and that sort of thing, and some other stuff like that. But just take that moment for a second. And the reason I'm saying all this is that even when the chips are down, even when it comes down to the whole factor of you being unemployed or maybe not being able to find a job, if you really, really want things to work out for yourself, there isn't going to be anybody else that's going to do it for you. Well, unless you've got the capital to hire an art agent or somebody like that, or an assistant, but I don't. But my point is, it's up to you. It was up to me. And yeah, I'm taking some crazy chances. I'm spending money on, you know, things that I need for shows, making, you know, reservations at other future shows down the year, and I have no idea what is going on. It's actually kind of an exhilarating and very exciting moment for me, because I, you know, when I was younger, I was a little bit of a daredevil. I did things like skateboard and other stuff like that, but I'm talking like mentally, I kind of like living on, you know, the edge of my seat in some ways. And boy, let me tell you, that's certainly where I am right now. That's very much where I'm going. And it's odd because, like I said earlier, I thought I'd be a lot more freaked out about this, and I'm not. I'm now like 2 months into this where I'm quote-unquote unemployed, and it's really not, it's not bad. You know, I was able to really think about what the hell I wanted to do, and I'm starting to get some ground underneath me, and I, you know, I'm thinking I might be all right in this. You know, ultimately, if I have to, I'll go get a job. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are like, well, you know, I'm not going to work flipping burgers or whatever. Shut up. Shut up. You're making that sound like it's a terrible job. It's not. I worked in restaurants. It can be crappy. It's, you know, you're dealing with customer service, you're dealing with food, you're doing all that kind of thing. It's a job. And ultimately, I have a lot more for respect for the people that are doing those jobs and seriously doing those jobs for thankless hours, not a lot of pay, and that sort of thing. I mean, ultimately, you know, I always go back to the fact that, you know, my grandfather, he was here in the States during the Great Depression. And that man always had a job. He was never unemployed because he was always doing something. It didn't matter what. I think that guy, like, he built sheds and worked the railroad off and on. He did all kinds of things. And if he was capable of finding a job during the Great Depression and making something of himself, and I'm here now, you know, two generations later, I'm here, and I, you know, very much directly because of his hard work, there's a lot of things in my life and opportunities that I have. Why the hell would I waste that by worrying about whether or not I'm quote-unquote unemployed by, you know, a straight thought pattern? You know, I'm as unemployed as I want to be, or as employed as I want to be. So anyway, I'll make this quick. 15 minutes, didn't want to talk that long about it, but hopefully for any of you, you know, you people out there that are looking for jobs, or maybe, you know, you've been let go or something like that, maybe now is the time to make those dreams come true. Maybe you need to look back at those things you really, really, really want to do, and look at the things that you left behind that you really, really didn't want to do, and then make a decision from there. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'm Mario the Artisan Rogue, and please check me out on Patreon, on Twitter, and on my, not my Facebook page, my website, because, you know, and just a quick little side note, Facebook is driving me nuts. Oh my God, I swear to God, when I first joined that thing, that was a great place. Now, not so much. It's one thing after another with that thing. Anyway, that's a topic for another time, and maybe I'll bring some guests on for that. So, until then, support your local artists. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.